We're back with more of Lake Effect and our Project Milwaukee series on barriers to achievement at MPS. I'm Bonnie North. Throughout the series, we've been focusing on challenges that Milwaukee Public Schools face, with special attention on teachers. As we've heard already, budgets, technological changes, and local, state, and federal regulations all play a part in how well teachers fare in the system. Another key player we haven't yet discussed is a school's administration, specifically the principal. The principal is very much a middle manager, responsible for making sure students learn, teachers teach and are mentored, parents are involved, and the school board, supervisory administration, and federal regulators are happy. Being a good principal involves wearing many hats and, perhaps even more importantly, knowing when to wear which one. The state's effort to develop better principals is represented in Wisconsin's second-round application for federal Race to the Top dollars. Dr. Ellen Ekman is an associate professor in the Department of Educational Policy and Leadership at Marquette University. She explains how a principal interacts with his or her faculty and students is critical to the success of a school.
A good principal is in the halls, has a sense of what's going on in the schools, is working with students all the time in very positive ways. That's how they got into it. They like working with young people. And through the teachers, I mean, I always think that the administrators, essentially the principals, the assistant principals, directors of instruction, curriculum people, that their job is to make the work of the teacher easier, better, stronger, that they are to facilitate what goes on in the classroom rather than get in the way of what goes on in the classroom.
How do principals get in the way?
Well, some of it's, I don't know if it's culture, but for instance, if a school, and I don't know if principals do it or if it's just a tradition, announcements that come into the classroom. Those are very disruptive. Changes to the teacher's schedule that doesn't involve teacher input. And that comes out of an administrative structure. It's probably not the principal making that decision. But, you know, teachers have, for the long time, you know, okay, the announcements come in. It's 5 minutes. It's 10 minutes. It's 15. It's disruptive. Principals maintaining and working with the faculty on behavior and attendance and truancy, those are the positive ways that principals can make sure that students are in the classroom working together with the teacher.
Is it important that principals mentor teachers, or does that fall out of the purview?
No, I actually think they do. I was thinking about that before I came, in terms of the role of the principal. Principals struggle because they're asked to be both the instructional leader and also the manager of the school. And I think at heart, many of them, the ones who have come through the teaching ranks, see themselves as instructors, and they want to work with teachers. And there's an interesting thing, because teachers, just like all adults, have a lifespan, and they have lifespan issues. And so the younger teachers are dealing with different kinds of issues than a veteran teacher and a teacher in an older lifespan. Family issues, from children to aging parents. And a principal has to be aware of that, and they have to understand the whole lifespan that their faculty are dealing with. And they need to, particularly for the younger, the newer, the least experienced, mentor them or find them a mentor to support them, because it's very difficult for a new teacher. It can be difficult for another teacher who's experiencing some family crisis, and a principal needs to be there in ways to say, okay, I understand what's going on, and what do you need from us?
Do former teachers make better principals, do you think, or does that matter so much?
Well, it's interesting. In our state, we require that a principal have a teacher's license and 3 years teaching experience. I think that if you've been in the classroom and understand a classroom, you can deal with that instructional leadership piece in a different way than if you've never been in the classroom. 3 years is probably not very much to require. Having a teacher's license isn't very much to require for understanding the instructional piece in a very practical way. The management piece might be something totally different, and it might be that people don't need to be teachers to be managers, and it might be that teachers may not be business budgetary managers in the way that coming from an MBA. But I think the instructional piece and understanding what it's like to run a classroom and deal with those issues and watch children with eyes in the back of your head only comes from being in the classroom. And so I do think that if you want instructional leaders and master teachers, you may need them to be encouraged by people who have done it.
Following off on that, do you think it's important that a principal shelter his or her teachers from outside pressures, being the shield between those outside pressures so that the teachers are free to actually teach?
Yeah. I mean, I would think if we're talking about dealing with community members that are making demands that you change this or you do this or you do that, then the principal's role is to say, no, my teachers and I, we have worked on this. We understand that this is where we're headed, and we have an understanding of best practice, and yes, we are going to continue. So in that, they do have to be the spokesperson, and not solo. I have a much broader sense that a principal needs to have a leadership team of faculty, young, veteran, all perspectives, so that they speak as a group and not just principal and not with faculty behind.
One of the things that I always think of principals is that I equate them with being the conductor of the symphony, that you set that tone, that it's your school in a lot of ways, and how things are done is affected a lot by your attitudes and your approaches. Do principals have that autonomy anymore? We're so increasingly standardized, and I know teachers have an issue with that, that they have to teach to the test. Are principals also under those same pressures?
Wow. I think they're under an enormous amount of pressure. I mean, the terms that we use when we look at some of the research, we see terms like work intensification. Their workload, time demands that are facing the principal, 60-hour work weeks is not uncommon, and overwhelming. And so the personal and professional balance is very, very difficult for principals, as for other professions too. But in this case, the issues facing the principal are so complex because they have limited resources, and their resource, so they've got to manage limited resources, and then they have these huge goals and wonderful ideas and people who want to do new things and go in new directions. So I think they're constantly under that tension, constantly struggling to find the balance. If their teachers are being judged by testing, they are also being judged, and that becomes a whole difficult issue for them too. And so I think it's very complex for them.
Well, and they're also, as you said before, they're straddling a line between instruction and management that they have. It's a very delicate balance, I would imagine, that they have to maintain all the time. You can't be one of your teachers, but you certainly have to understand what they're going through.
Right, right. And, you know, we also talk about when we train new aspiring administrators. At the same time, you have to know all the other things. You have to be up on the newest materials, too, and in a very balanced way, and understand that which is really strong, significant, data-driven decision-making, and that which is just sort of come in and out. And fads do come in and out in education, and a principal needs to be able to work together with his team on which directions. Yeah.
One of the focuses of your research is on gender differences in administrations. And let's start right at, do you find differences between male and female principals?
Well, it's interesting because I looked first at women high school principals because there are fewer women high school principals than there are male. And then I collected data on role conflict, job satisfaction, and role commitment. And surprising similarities, things that are different tend to be things like women come into the high school principalship and that at an older age, which is a function of lots of other things in their lives. So they've also taught longer. So they come with a more instructional bent. They have some less concern of monetary issues. It seems like some of the men who come into the high school principalship move very quickly, 3 years of teaching and right up a career path. Women come in much older, and they're just moving into a leadership position, and they see it as a different career stage. So those things are different. I think they both, surprisingly, talk about the same job issues in terms of things that are dissatisfying for them. They both talk about intense workload, role demands, time demands, and conflict. So that in that sense, both genders are very, very well aware of the demands in the role.
What do you think would be the most important thing that principals and teachers could do to support each other?
Well, some of the most interesting research that's coming out now is on a concept of distributed leadership. And I referred to this a little bit earlier on. Teachers develop also along their lifespans as they begin adult development. We know much, much more about that. And teachers need to be encouraged to step beyond just the classroom and begin to use some of those classroom skills. I mean, at least those who are tending in that direction. Not everybody wants to be a leader or can be. But there have to be ways for teachers to express their leadership and to grow in the school. And I think a principal needs to recognize that and provide those opportunities of genuine leadership, moving schools in new directions, when there was more money, being able to provide more professional development, sending the faculty members to Madison to be involved in those kind of discussions that go on, encouraging teachers to get the national teacher recognitions and certifications. They need to both work on that. So teachers need to step up and work with their principal, and principals need to be able to distribute leadership to their teachers. I did an interesting study after my work on the principals on co-principals, which is sort of an idea where principals are saying, look, this job is too big. It's too big for one person. We need to be two people. And with two people, we can do these kinds of things. Not principal assistant, two principals. And there's a surprising number of schools that are looking at that alternative structure.
Is that happening here in Milwaukee?
There are some schools here in the state of Wisconsin. I identified 170 co-principals around the country. And there are some in other countries, too. England has quite a few. With this recognition that the job has become so big that and it's so lonely at the top that maybe we need to look at it differently.
Well, Dr. Ellen Ekman, I want to thank you very much for coming in and talking with us today. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. I was glad to be here.
Dr. Ellen Ekman is an associate professor in the Department of Educational Policy and Leadership at Marquette University. Her research interests include the role of the principal, leadership in educational organizations, and women in the high school principalship. And that's all the time we have for Lake Effect today. It's a live show tomorrow on our Project Milwaukee series, Barriers to Achievement at MPS. Lake Effect will be broadcasting from the first floor of the Chase Building on the corner of Water and Wisconsin Avenues from 10 to 11 a.m. Our guests include Annalisa Dickman from the Public Policy Forum, Bob Peterson of Rethinking Schools, and Marquette Senior Fellow and longtime education reporter Alan Borsuk. If you're downtown between 10 and 11, please stop by. I'm Bonnie North. It's been great having you along with us today. Lake Effect comes your way every weekday at 10 in the morning on 89.7 WUWM HD, Milwaukee Public Radio.